From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, He Will Carry Us Home. The text is found in Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 4. And even to your old age I am He, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear. Even I will carry, and will deliver you. The year is very old, and here is a promise for our aged friends, yes, and for us all as age creeps over us. Let us live long enough, and we shall all have hoar hairs. Therefore, we may as well enjoy this promise by the foresight of faith. When we grow old, our God will still be the I Am, abiding evermore the same. Hoar hairs tell of our decay, but He decayeth not. When we cannot carry a burden, and can hardly carry ourselves, the Lord will carry us. Even as in our young days He carried us like lambs in His bosom, so will He in our years of infirmity. He made us, and He will care for us. When we become a burden to our friends and a burden to ourselves, the Lord will not shake us off, but rather He will take us up and carry and deliver us more fully than ever. In many cases, the Lord gives His servants a long and calm evening. They worked hard all day and wore themselves out in their master's service. And so He said to them, Now rest in anticipation of that eternal Sabbath which I have prepared for you. Let us not dread old age. Let us grow old graciously, since the Lord Himself is with us in fullness of grace.
Sound mind, with loving, unfailing kind, for me.
these troublesome times for our nation, many people are looking to the government or to social action for a solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of both Duncan Campbell's account of what happened during those revival times on Lewis, as well as a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. The CDs are available to you free of charge, simply by requesting your copies. You may write us at LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Just request your copies of the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. As he proceeds with this series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of a message entitled, Dead and Alive. The text is Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. The importance of this chapter would be hard to overstate, for it deals in depth with the Christian's position in Christ. Paul speaks of the old man, unregenerate man as he is in Adam, and the new man, the saved man in Christ. At the moment of salvation, the old man is looked upon as having died with Christ on the cross. The new man is regarded as having been made alive with Christ at his resurrection. This is the believer's position before God, and it lies at the heart of what justification by faith is all about. Now Dr. Cairns will introduce this message, Dead and Alive.
Continuing the studies in Romans, we come to Romans chapter 6. We'll be dealing with verses 3 through 5, but we will read the first 5 verses together at this time. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to this brief reading from his own precious and inspired word for his name's sake. When dealing with this section of Romans 6, it is particularly important to do something that you should always do when you come to Scripture, but that is to keep it strictly in its context. Particularly important to remember that here Paul is answering the abominable suggestion that since God's grace superabounds over all our sin, we should sin all the more just to give God the chance to be glorified by even more abounding grace. Some people obviously were taking that out of what Paul was teaching when he said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. There comes this carnal response. Shall we continue in sin then, in order that grace may abound? He answers first in the second verse with the general argument that since we are justified in union with Christ and therefore died unto sin in Christ and with Christ, we cannot continue to live in sin as our natural and preferred element. And then he sets out through the first 14 verses, and indeed beyond, he sets out to explore the things that believers ought to know about their position in Christ and how they should act upon that knowledge. Last week, taking an overview of those first 14 verses, I pointed out that the three key words are know, reckon, and yield. And the order is significant. Know. Come to understand the gospel. Not just some little part of the gospel. Not some caricature of the gospel. But the gospel itself, as it's here expounded in the Epistle to the Romans. Know it. Know what it means to be in Christ. Know what it means to have died unto sin with Christ. Know what union with Christ is, what justification is. Paul says we ought to know these things. And as we know them, and it's not the knowledge of the intellect merely, it is the knowledge of faith. It is such a knowledge that leads us to commit our very souls unto Christ as he's here revealed in the gospel. When we have come to know this, then we can take our stand upon it. We can reckon on it. We can count on it. We can make our calculations for life on this solid basis. We can respond to the various trials, troubles, and temptations that come our way, the various situations of life. Instead of simply reacting to the situation, we go back to basics. We get our feet on what we know to be true. However we feel, however our situation appears, we get back to the solid ground. of what we know to be true, and we take our stand on that, we reckon on the truth of the gospel. And then, having reckoned, we yield our bodies, the members of our bodies, as instruments of God unto righteousness, and not instruments of sin, to serve Satan and self. So we looked at these three key words in this sixth chapter of Romans. Now today, we commence a more detailed study of Paul's argument. I was at first going to do this entire chapter in maybe 2 to 3 studies. But when I looked again at chapter 6, I realized that here we're dealing with things that really perplex many, many Christians. Here we're dealing with a chapter which I have already shown and will show a little more tonight has been severely abused by people who think in all sincerity that they're teaching what the Word of God says, and in actual fact they are perverting what the Word of God says, and they're teaching for truth the doctrines of men. Many of you will have grown up with some of those perversions of Romans 6 and will have accepted them as truth. Not only so, there are things that are written here that many Christians don't quite grasp, and therefore they find that they have the struggle of making their experience come into line with what is written. And very often that leads to great frustration. So as I have thought and seen just how detailed is Paul's exposition here, I have put the brakes on a little. I had hoped to be through the whole of Romans 6 by another week or so. Well, it may be a week or two beyond that. And so we're going to look a little at this detailed argument. But as we approach this, we'll see that Paul's consistent argument through all the sections of Romans 6 is that our justification is the basis, and indeed it is the guarantee of our sanctification. Now, approaching verses 2 and 3, I want to repeat what I've said already, that we need to keep clearly in mind Paul's purpose. We must not come to this and extract some words, separate them from their context, and then start to build a whole system of teaching on that extracted passage so that we end up teaching something that Paul never had in mind. Especially remember what I said last Lord's Day. We noted then that this text, this portion of Scripture, describes the state of every believer in Jesus Christ. Every believer died unto sin. That comes as a shock to a lot of people. This is a description of the state of every believer in Christ without exception. This is a statement of something that is factual, something that is true. It is not something we wish for. It is not something that is held out as a higher standard of Christian living for something of a spiritual elite. Yet, many preachers, holiness preachers, have come to this to call God's people to a sort of second blessing, to entire sanctification. They exhort God's people to make a decision to identify themselves by faith with Christ in his death in order that they might die, in order that they should cease to feel the pull and the power of sin at all in their lives. In other words, they take Romans 6 instead of being a description of every Christian's state in Christ, and they make it to be the possibility of a higher level of experience for for some Christians. Now, once you understand what I've said, that this is descriptive of a state, a standing that is true of every Christian equally upon his believing on Christ, you will see that this entire sanctification usage of Romans 6 is entirely without warrant. Their whole argument stands Paul's words on their head, confusing the state of justification with the experience of sanctification. And however hard it is to grasp this, you must take Paul as he intends himself to be understood. You must understand that dying here doesn't speak at all. Now, I want you to grasp this, because there is a sense in which in sanctification you die more and more unto self and unto sin and live more and more unto God. That's quite true. You mortify the deeds of the body. That is true. But that's not the truth that Paul is dealing with in Romans 6. In Romans 6, the dying does not describe an experience. It's not subjective at all. It's not describing our experience. This is a word that Paul is using to describe and define an objective reality, a legal fact on which God bases all his dealings with his believing people. Now, that's Paul's central idea here. And as we come to verses 3 to 5, we'll see that he's arguing that believers in Christ cannot continue to live in sin. They cannot continue to have sin as the reigning principle of their lives, because they are one with Christ, both in his death and in his resurrection. Now, that means that when they were justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they died unto sin and they came alive unto God, which means that they now have a new life, and it's not the old life of sin. Now, that in a nutshell is the argument. We're going to look at it more carefully, and this is just the theme of dead and alive. Two important words. You can sum up the teaching of the text, and some of you may wish that I would be this brief and just give you the 3 points and let you all go home. But since people tell preachers they only work one day a week, well, that they should at least work that day. But notice this. For believers, the old man died. Notice this carefully again in verse 2. How shall we that are dead? No, no. Exactly what Paul said. How shall we? We who died. And as I've pointed out in past studies, correlating this with other statements in the chapter, that's dying in the death of Christ. That's when we died. The old man died in Christ's death. Second, the new man lives in Christ's resurrection. The old man, the old self, died at the cross. The new man, the new self, lives in Christ's resurrection. And now we, as we walk about in this world, we live in the light of this new reality. And that is what Paul is establishing.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.